Okay, so my name is Lillian Jacka. I'm 18 years old. Today is October 6th, 2019, and I'm speaking with BJ Hetherington, who is my adopted grandmother. We are recording this interview in Springfield, Missouri. Okay.
Very good.
All right. Can you tell me about one of the people who has been the kindest to you in your life?
The kindest to me?
Yes.
Oh, dear. Long pauses. are we recording yet?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's sorry. Okay. It's okay.
Well, I was just thinking of this pastor I had, because he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And his daughter had asked me to write a little memory about him.
Mm-hmm.
And when we went to his church, I had just never been treated with so much kindness
mm-hmm.
by a pastor in a church before.
Yeah.
And he preached about love and grace and freedom in your Christian life and connection with Christ. And he just had this wife who'd had a stroke.
Uh-huh.
And she wore braces and her left side was paralyzed, but she could still play the organ one-handed.
Oh, wow.
So he would help her get up there. And he was kind of a type A personality.
Mm-hmm.
But the kindness that he showed with his love was just amazing. And that just reflected back on all of us.
Oh, that's sweet.
So I think he probably was the kindest I can think of right off the bat.
Yeah, no.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And can you describe one of your happiest memories?
I probably when my daughter was born.
Really?
I had three boys. They were 2, 4, and 6. No, they were, I'm sorry, 6, 8, and 10 when she was born.
Oh, wow.
And I just thought I was going to have another boy.
Mm-hmm.
And she was my easiest delivery. Everything went really fast. And I couldn't believe it was a girl. And I think she was born in the evening. And I stayed up all night calling friends and them calling me and talking about it.
That's sweet.
That was a pretty happy moment. Oh.
Okay. Do you have a favorite memory of me?
Of you?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, I have a lot. You know, I got to know you as a baby. You were probably about 9 months old, I think.
Yeah.
I think it was you would always, what, you sucked for certain fingers.
Yeah.
I loved that about you.
Yeah, it was my third and my fourth. My
yes, and it was an unusual one.
Yeah.
And it was so darn cute. And you would just, I always got a kick out of you and Sylvie, because you got into so much mischief together when you were toddlers. You would just think of all kinds of things to do. But I think the best memory I have of you is just being another grandchild and treating me like a grandma, the hugs and the affection and the bond that we have.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was really nice having
yes.
some family near me that
yes.
wasn't just my mom. And
that's right.
And of course, at that time, my sister, I uh-huh. mean, we still don't have the best relationship, but at
yes.
that time, it was even worse.
So yes.
That was so nice
well,
to
we'll
have that family.
We'll have that forever, I think.
Of
yeah.
course. The whole family.
Uh-huh.
All right. And then, who has been the most influential person in your life, and what did they teach you?
Probably my sister, my older sister, I would have to say influenced me a lot. I'm about 6 years younger than her.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to, when I was a teenager, I would go stay with them, and they had little girls at the time who are now about 55. But so I became kind of a big sister to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would watch her with her girls, and then I always asked her questions about when I got married. I asked her questions about cooking. I still call her once in a while and say, tell me about this food. Can I keep it out this long or that long?
Mm-hmm.
Seems like she was probably the most influential. Sometimes I had to back away from that and think of my own, do my own thinking. And I didn't always agree with everything.
Yeah.
But she was definitely probably the one who was most influential.
Mm-hmm. And this is...
Ginger.
Okay.
Uh-huh,
just
my
making
older
sure.
sister, yes.
I uh-huh. wasn't sure where
you know
she...
her.
Yeah. I've always known that she was your sister,
yes.
but I didn't know if there was more or anything.
Right.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
That's sweet. I love her.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give your teenage self?
Oh, wow. you know, I remember them trying to teach us to think logically, and it wasn't easy for me. I was kind of spacey and a little bit, just wanted to have a good time and loved people and loved everything. And I was very affected by peer pressure. I think I would have told myself to stop and think and look around and be a little more aware of what's going on. I had the head knowledge of it, but I didn't put it together in practice because I'd be so pulled towards, what do you want to do? Oh, sure, I'll go do. I'd put everything down and go do something with my friends.
Yeah.
And I admire people who talk about their teen years and remember making decisions to back away from this or do more of that. I think I did it, but it was mostly by the seat of my pants.
Yeah.
So I think I would say that, to just settle down and give thought some time.
Yeah. That's good advice. Are there any traditions that have been passed down in your family? Can you tell me about them?
I think probably the biggest one, other than doing jigsaw puzzles and having the Christmas traditions that we've always had. That's the biggest.
Because the big celebration.
I grew up, I remember as a young child, probably 4 and 5, going to my great-grandmother's house.
Yeah.
And there'd be 50 people there just from all the, you know, the cousins and aunts and uncles and her, my great-aunts. And,
oh, wow.
Anyway, so I grew up having those family, and so my sister and I, once we had moved away and grown up and everything, and we happened to live an hour or so away from each other, tried to continue that tradition. And to this day, even though we live some hours apart, we still do it, and you've been involved in our Christmas parties.
And no, that's always fun.
Yeah, my son in Seattle flies back every 2 years. Is about all he can afford, but he makes sure he's there. And so I'd say that's the biggest traditions we have.
Yeah. Keeps the family more involved.
Yes. Together. Consequently, the kids in their adulthood know each other very well.
Yeah.
And when I lived in Idaho some years, for 11 years, I'd fly back every summer. And so my kids could meet their get to know their cousins and so forth. So.
Yeah. That's nice. All right. Can you tell me about where you grew up and what was it like?
Well, let's see. We lived on farms until I was 10. My dad was a tenant farmer, which means that we got the house and then he'd run the farm for the owner. Okay. And the owner many times was a guy who lived in town who owned this farm, needed somebody to run it. And so we moved quite a bit, but we had a special farm that we all enjoyed. And have the best, all of us remember the memories there. We were there 4 or 5 years, and that was a long time for us. And so I was the one who, I was the baby of the family, the fourth one. And my brother and sister were 4 and 6 years older than me, but I would tag them around all the time. I would tag along behind them, and they would do things to try to get me to go back in, like climb up on top of the shed, and I'd climb up right behind them. They couldn't get rid of me.
That's funny.
But those were really great times. Hay mow, we had a big rope in the hay mow, and I mean a huge rope that we could swing out over the cow lot and back into the hay mow.
Oh, wow.
And yes, and I was very young when I was doing that. So I was kind of if they dared me, I'd pretty much do anything. Some other friends who lived on a farm dared me to jump out of a second story window, I think.
Oh,
it was.
My goodness.
And I did it. I just was kind of a daredevil, thought I could do it, I guess. But but lots of freedom as a kid on the farm.
Yeah.
You kind of roam and you use a lot of imagination. You're outside all the time. And then we moved to town when I was in sixth grade, and I remember walking to school. It was a strange thing because I always had the bus before, and it was close enough I could walk to school, and so I had to get used to town life, and I was very involved in school, loved it, and by the time I got in junior high and high school, I just went for it all. I loved singing. Singing was very much a part of my life starting in sixth grade. And so I just continued on with the singing part. And when I got into high school, I did journalism. So I had yearbook and I was part of the newspaper and photographer. So I was very interested in all that.
Yeah.
But I remember in my junior year talking to my parents and we figured out how many nights I'd been home that that year or that period of time. It wasn't very many because I was in so many things.
Yeah.
But I had a grand time. I had a good, I think I had a good growing up. My mother was ill. Uh-huh. She was mentally ill. And she had times where she had to go off to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And I just grew up knowing that. I don't remember ever being ashamed of it or having a problem with it because that was just mom. And I always felt sorry for her.
Yeah.
I call her my poor mommy because I knew she was sick.
Yeah.
And I think that must have been explained to me very well by someone. Yeah. I'm not sure. I had an aunt who was a nurse, so maybe she did. But at any rate, we did okay. And I think partially because I was so busy at school.
Yeah.
I had that to fill in those times.
Yeah.
But I think that considering, I think that it went very well for me.
That's good. Mm-hmm. It sounds fun.
Yeah.
All right. Did you have a nickname? And if so, can you tell me the story of how you got it?
I think it was my dad who called me Jelly Bean.
Oh.
Just because he liked to play. My name is Betty Jean.
Uh-huh.
And my mom was Betty. And in school, they started calling me Betty. And I didn't want to be Betty. You know, I was Betty Jean. My brother always called me Betty Jean. But so I invented the BJ.
Mm-hmm.
I actually knew there was a boy in another school with his name was BJ, but that didn't bother me. I just liked the idea of BJ. I think it was in junior high when I did that.
Yeah.
And it stuck. But my family all call me Betsy. My sister and my nieces and nephews, I'm Aunt Betsy.
Oh.
And I thought about switching my name over to that because I kind of liked that one.
Uh-huh.
Jelly Bean I wasn't too fond of. but it would be too hard to get everybody used to it.
Yeah, especially because it's been so long.
Yes, and then my grandkids picked up Morgan, my one who's 23, mm-hmm. my grandchild, couldn't say, she was saying Mama, and her mommy didn't want her to call me Mama. So Morgan, we'd try to get her to say it in a different way or something. She came up with Amma.
Oh, really?
So that's how Amma stuck.
Oh, that's fun.
Yes, yes.
I never knew that.
Uh-huh.
That's cute. I like that. I always wondered.
Uh-huh.
Okay, what was one of the worst things you ever did as a kid?
Oh, dear. Well, that jumping out of that window comes to mind.
Yeah.
You mean naughty or like
anything? Whatever
you know,
you think
everybody
fits.
Talks. Sometimes people talk about cheating in school, and I have never. I remember when I was in second grade,
mm-hmm.
I looked at somebody's paper, and I got in trouble. I was so horrified and so ashamed and so embarrassed, because I was this nice little girl, and I just and so from then on in my life, I was just paranoid about never ever ever cheating. So I don't know. I think that's one of the worst things in my mind that I did.
Because it affected you for so long.
It did.
Yeah.
It really did. But there were some escapades with the car when I was a teenager. We used to play, what did they call it? Can I even remember it? Chinese. It's when you stop the cars. We'd shag the drag back in those days in the 60s.
It's like
shag the drag means you go up and down the our town was small and had a downtown area. And we go up and down the streets and meet each other in cars and yell out the windows. And then we'd stop the cars and we'd all get out and run around the car and get back in. And we'd switch the driver usually.
I've heard of that.
It's called Chinese something. I don't know why it's Chinese, but I'll have to come up with that.
Is it like take something or
I can't remember.
Fireball or something?
No. I don't think so. We'll have to look that one up.
Yeah, because I actually have heard of that before. That's
but
fun.
But that probably wasn't so great to do.
Yeah, because you just drive other people's cars.
Oh, I remember a car pulling up to us right next to us and having the windows open and trying to crawl into the other car. I mean, that was not a good thing.
No.
But I won't go any more on the car escapade.
Okay. All right. Are there any childhood friends you want to tell me about?
Childhood friend. Now, let me think, because I just went to a 50th reunion.
Oh, wow.
Well, not a few years back.
Yeah.
A few years ago. And it was most fun reunion I've ever gone to because there's none of this competing or anything. We're all old.
Yeah.
And we're just glad we can remember each other. And it was great seeing all of them. But, oh, I know, there was this guy there, this man there, who I knew through my church, and he was always kind of a stuffy, and he did end up being an attorney.
Oh.
And it fitted him very well. but it was, we had this friendship because we knew each other at church and went there together.
Uh-huh.
But it was good. He introduced me to his wife, and it was just really fun to remember him all grown up and not the stuffy person anymore.
Yeah.
He grew out of that. And, but as far as a fun friend, and I had a lot of them.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the one particular one. The one particular ones I had weren't there at the reunion.
Yeah.
And so this is from my childhood, right?
Yeah.
You said.
I mean, honestly, it could be Ginger or whoever.
Well, I had a friend who, when I was a senior, I had pretty much decided I was going to go into journalism.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it just didn't work out financially.
Yeah.
And with my parents. And in those days, it wasn't, student loans weren't like they are now. It wasn't
yeah.
the same kind of thing. So I had taken college prep classes. So this friend of mine convinced me to go to nursing school with her.
Mm-hmm.
I had really not planned ever on being a nurse.
Yeah.
But as with everything else, usually when I got involved in something, I had a great time.
Yeah.
And I really did enjoy it, and I did well with it. But she and I roomed together, and she had a boyfriend. And at that time, we couldn't get married while we were doing nursing school.
Oh, okay.
Well, they secretly got married.
Oh.
So I was the only one who knew about it, and so we kept in contact for years, and that was
That's
kind of a
cute.
Special thing. But I had a lot of friends.
Yeah.
You know, I
yeah.
think I did. My very, very best friend died some years ago.
Oh.
And you've probably heard me talk of her daughter, Talia, out in California.
Maybe.
And, yeah, maybe so. And I've kind of watched over her since Mary died.
Oh, that's
but,
good.
Yeah. That's a hard
I'm
one
sorry.
Because
I'm
I have
sorry.
So many.
Yeah.
That's okay. That threw me.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any other favorite stories from your childhood?
From my childhood.
Kind of gone over all of them.
Oh, I have a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I have with the Christmas traditions. I remember getting this little music box. It was just a little square box,
mm-hmm.
and you turned a handle on it. Kind of makes you know, and it played a little tune.
Oh.
And Away in the Manger, nor Silent Night. It was Silent Night, and I remember getting that when I was about four or so.
Oh.
And I was trotting, I was spinning around the room playing, and everybody was noticing it. And we didn't get a lot of things.
Yeah.
But I remember that. And I just remember those farm years
mm-hmm.
where we just ran around and
mm-hmm.
probably did some things we shouldn't have done. But, I mean, we climbed over every building there was. And,
oh,
you know,
my goodness.
It's just, yeah, a lot of kind of dangerous things. There was one time that Ginger and Larry, my sister, oldest sister and brother, went, I followed them into the cornfield, and they got so disgusted they left me. And of course, I couldn't find my way out. They couldn't find me, so they had to go get my dad.
Oh my goodness.
They got into big trouble.
Oh.
But I don't remember being scared or anything.
Yeah.
I was just wandering around.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I would probably be terrified.
Yeah.
That's
me,
though.
I don't remember that I was.
That's funny. Okay, can you tell me the story of your first kiss?
My first kiss. That
yeah.
must have been, I can't remember his name, but he was the cutest guy, and we were friends.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd walk home from school once in a while together. He just was a nice, nice boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we were out on a date or anything. I don't know where we were or how that it really occurred. We might have gone on a date.
Mm-hmm.
And he kissed me. It was very sweet and gentle. And
oh.
Yeah. Nice
that's
experience.
Cute.
Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
cute.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell me about any lessons you've learned from your relationships? Do you have any wisdom to pass on about love?
Ooh, yes, I do. I've always said, you know, my husband left me when after 30 years of marriage.
Yeah.
And I was just turning 50 at that time. And people would ask me, what did I learn from all that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know one thing is your love just doesn't quit the
yeah.
minute because they do something awful.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was very, very devastated. I had no idea that he had this other life and this other woman and all that, and other women.
Yeah.
But the thing that I noticed most about the love thing is that when in about 5 years after that, I went through such a devastating time. It took me a few years to kind of get my head back on straight. Mm-hmm. And then I had to get back to work. And there were so many things happening. But about 5 years out, it was he got married again.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like, what am I? I've really got to give up hope, because I think I always had a little bit of hope mm-hmm. there. And I don't know if I heard it from someone else or God just did it when I was praying one time. But it became apparent to me that part of loving him was letting him go.
Yeah.
And letting, let you know, and it really took care of that longing
mm-hmm.
when I did that. I kind of made a commitment, you know, to do that and prayed about it. And it did, it really took a lot of that sorrow and,
yeah,
you know, away. But I wasn't careful enough. Now, I think that the minute I was married to Jim, and I never would have had my children, so to me, it was God's plan, and it happened, and once I married, that was it, you mm-hmm. know. But he probably wasn't the best. I was marrying him a lot for the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. I wanted security, and I thought, but I didn't know him well enough.
Yeah.
And I think that love is a commitment, and he wasn't committed, and I didn't, and my friends tried to tell me that, and I think you need to listen to friends,
mm-hmm.
and my parents, I weren't involved, I lived away, you know,
mm-hmm.
But I think that he did some things in that period of time before we were married that you just don't stay in a relationship when someone does those kind of things.
Yeah.
He was involved with someone else, and I forgave him because I believed him that he turned away from it, and probably shouldn't have. But like I say, looking back, I was that kid who could have thought things through a little bit better, you know? And the whole experience the experience of being married to him and having children was a blessing, and mm-hmm. and we had our good times too. But the whole experience of the separation and the rejection and all that helped me grow in understanding and being more compassionate for other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been able to see that it was used in a good way.
Yeah.
And I got through it okay. But love is really what got me through even letting him go. So it was a lesson learned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever committed a random act of kindness?
Oh, I like to do that.
I figured this was an easy question for you.
I do a lot of that. I have a friend who's in a wheelchair, and I'll call her up and say, do you need to go anywhere or do anything? And load her up in the wheelchair, and we'll go mm-hmm. have lunch.
Oh,
or she likes to go to the dollar store, and she wants to go to Joanne's Fabrics because she crochets.
Oh, okay.
And so we get her yarn and stuff, and I like doing that.
Yeah.
I think it's good to, yeah, and if I ever think about wanting to do something for somebody, I usually do it, because I think kindness is one of the best thing you could do,
mm-hmm.
you know, for people.
Yeah,
it lasts a while. To show them kindness. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What do you feel most grateful for in your life?
My salvation, I'll have to say. Knowing Christ is my Savior. Knowing that I'm going to spend heaven, eternity in heaven
mm-hmm.
with Him. Because especially the older you get, and it's a true thing, it's kind of a thing people say, that you think more about dying and going to heaven as mm-hmm. you get older. You having friends, I have two friends right now with cancer, and they're not doing well. So it's something that gets on your mind somewhat. And I'm thankful that I have that surety that where mm-hmm. I'm going to go. And it's a true thing that those who go before you, like this pastor who just died.
Oh.
He and his daughter and I were best friends.
Oh.
You know, we raised our kids together. But anyway, thinking of him, those people who go on like that give you just more assurance there's people there, you know,
yeah.
and they went through it and they managed it, and we can do that too.
Yeah.
So that yeah, I'd have to say that's my, and other than that, it's my family, and that thing I have up there. Uh-huh. In this family, we do second chances, we do grace, we do real, we do I'm sorry's, we make fun memories, we do hugs, we do family, but we do I love you best.
Yeah.
So family sweet. Would be my next thing.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys have a nice
very
family.
Important. Well, and your extended family. You're part of it.
Yeah.
It's nice. I believe in extended family.
Okay. What are some of the most important lessons you've learned in life, and how did you learn them?
Oh, boy. I think the biggest thing is not worrying what other people think.
Yeah.
And that it was right back to my childhood where I said I was very influenced by my friends and let's do this or do that, and I'd be pulled different directions.
Yeah.
And even in my adulthood, I'll think about, well, they have this or that or comparing. And there's a verse in the Bible that my son Scott's told me many times, Mom, you can't compare. It says in the Bible not to compare yourself to others. It's not wise. And it's not, because it pulls you down.
Mm-hmm.
But what was the question again? I got off a little
important
bit.
Lessons you've learned in life.
Ah, that's one of the biggest lessons, I think.
Yeah.
And because it's not about you.
Yeah.
This life is not about me. This life is about what I can do for others.
Yeah.
And when you start thinking about comparing yourself to other people, man, you can go down a trail
mm-hmm.
and get really down in the dumps, because mm-hmm. you're never going to meet up to that comparison that you have in your mind of somebody else. So that's probably been my biggest lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is one of your greatest accomplishments?
My kids, I would say, and also going back to work in nursing and working those 15 years at Nurse on Call.
Yeah.
That was a big accomplishment, because I hadn't worked in 27 years.
Yeah.
And my life was my family and my children and everything associated with that. And but that second part of my life where I did that before I retired was quite an accomplishment. Yeah, yeah, I can be proud of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What are you proudest of? Why does it make you feel proud?
Oh, I'm probably proudest of my family.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel proud because they not only love me, they love each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proud to have you guys into my family because I love you. I love that. But I think that's probably it. And it's because of the love.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what it's all about.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Can you tell me a story about any lessons you've learned from your parents?
Yes. You know, there was a time, because of my mother's mental illness, mm-hmm. she wasn't like a normal mom, in quotes.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't do a lot of the things that other moms did and couldn't.
Yeah.
Because she was limited.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was kind of a depressed person, because living with this all these years, and by the time I was the youngest, by the time I got up into high school and so forth, you know, I was kind of on my own a lot. But as I said, I was busy with school, and that was a big help. Remind me of the question again, because I got off.
Biggest lesson you've learned from your parents.
I went to a seminar one time when we were going to this particular church, of a lady who'd written a book and was talking about growing up. And if you didn't really ever accept your parents in like your junior high years, then I loved psychology. I just loved psychology.
Oh, me too.
So I ate this up.
Yeah.
And if you didn't do that, accept who you were, and you were part of this family, this is where God put you, and here, you know, mm-hmm. and you would not grow up properly, and you may be dealing with some childish things that you never did. So mm-hmm. she had us write this list of things, pros and cons of your parents and how they raised you.
Mm-hmm.
And I had more cons. I couldn't think of very many pros. And I felt really bad about that.
Yeah.
But the one thing I had that really was the element was that I knew I was loved.
Yeah.
No matter how dysfunctional things were,
yeah.
I knew that they both loved me. And So what they had us do was find that biggest thing that we found from them, and we wrote them a letter thanking them for that. And so I did that.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was so affected by that, she carried that letter around in her purse.
Aww.
Even into the nursing home. She always had that in her bag, that
letter.
Oh,
that's so sweet.
And I think I learned from that the importance of kind of a legacy thing. I had mm-hmm. this friend who I said was in the wheelchair that I take.
Yeah.
She's really big on legacy, and she writes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to get some of that together now in that the lesson of leaving some of those ideas and those thoughts. Because just their reaction to what I... told
yeah.
them, you know, was it meant so much to them.
Yeah.
That it made me learn how important it is to say it.
Yeah.
And to write it down.
Definitely. Keep a record of those
yes.
kinds of things.
Yes. I wish I would have been better about journaling. Some people are so good at it daily. And if I always tell people, if you can start that young, it'll become a habit.
Yeah.
And I did it in kind of the sad times or the bad times, but not always the good times.
Yeah.
So.
But sometimes you don't feel as obligated to document what's happening when you feel good.
No, you're busy and exactly. Yes.
Uh-huh. So I understand that.
Yes.
Okay. Do you know any classic family stories or jokes or songs?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I have songs.
Songs?
My mom... was kind of brilliant in a way. She just had these exceptional talents that didn't always show through because of her schizophrenia or what, you know. Mm-hmm. But she could play the piano by ear. You know, she'd just sit down and play tunes. And she knew a lot of the 40s songs because, you know, she grew up in the 30s, I guess, I'd have to say, 20s and 30s. But she would teach us those songs in that same farm. We had a sunroom mm-hmm. and a piano in there. And I remember singing and dancing. And, of course, I loved to sing. And some of the songs she taught me, and I would sing to my grandbabies always when I sang to them, is, down in the meadow in an itty-bitty pool swam three little fishies and a mama fishy too.
I think
swim, send the mama fishy fast as you can. And they swam right over D-dum. Oompa, 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 shoo. Oom, bottom, oom, bottom, oom, bottom, shoe. Oom, bottom, oom, bottom, oom, bottom, shoe. And they swam, right over D-dam. So that was one I learned from there. And then Bye Bye Blackbird and so many 40s and songs. And we would watch, we got a TV in the 50s. and I think I was about 8 years old or so.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched the Hit Parade. So it became a tradition for us to sit down a certain night whenever that was on and watch. We would sing with it. It was all it was these people singing everything. you know, you sing song after song after song.
Oh,
and so singing and songs were a real part of our lives. And I also sing a song to any baby I hold. I sing Precious Baby. That's the song that my friend made up when she adopted her two children.
Mm-hmm.
And she would sing them about, talk to them about coming on a big airplane to be born in their house.
Oh.
And she sang it, and I kind of put it to my situation.
That's good. That,
yeah, so. And what else was it?
Just
stories
that.
Stories or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there any funny stories your family tells about you that come to mind?
The boys would always tell me about, use those, oh darn, what were they? The blonde jokes, you know?
Oh.
I was, Melissa and I both were a little spacey. So growing up with these three guys, four guys, counting my husband, they would kind of tease about that. They'd tell the blonde jokes or something. But, now, what was, say the question again?
Are there any family funny stories your family tells about you that come
about
to mind?
Me?
Yes.
But I can't think of one right now. I'm always terrible at remembering jokes.
That's
or
okay.
Anything. I'm sure there is. I can think of funny stories, but I'm sure there is. But if my guys were here, they'd think of it in a minute because they're always teasing me about one thing or another.
Yeah. They're good at that.
Yeah.
Can you tell me one of your happiest childhood memories? And then one of the worst childhood memories?
Probably one of the happiest was when I was about 7.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't, like I said, we didn't get a lot for Christmas. Yeah. We were kind of poor farmers. I got this wooden crib, not real miniature. I mean, it was a good size one, and a doll for Christmas.
Oh.
And I think that's one of my happiest memories.
Mm-hmm.
One of my saddest memories was when I came home from school and found out my mom had to go to the hospital, but that they had to call the police and put her in a straitjacket.
Oh.
And I wasn't there, and I didn't see it.
Yeah.
But I felt so bad for her. It was so sad to me that that she had to go through that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Especially because not a lot was known about.
No, and
didn't know how to handle.
No, like and that. My father talks about that. That when she had her first breakdown, I was about 2 years old. That we were young kids.
Yeah,
and he didn't know anything about it. You know, mm-hmm. They just thought crazy people. They didn't know anything about. And so he just did what they said, and they put her in the hospital, and they were almost going to do a lobotomy, which is when they operate and take the frontal part of the brain. And my aunt, who was a nurse, stepped in and said, no, you know, and stopped that from happening. But he said, well, I didn't know. I just thought, you know, they do whatever. But that's quite a story about my mom. Mm-hmm. I've often thought I should write something about that, but haven't put it together quite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's an interesting story.
Yeah. Okay. And we do have 8 minutes, a little over, left. Okay. I didn't realize that it did have a time limit.
Oh, okay.
But don't feel rushed or anything.
Okay.
Were there any teachers who had a particularly strong influence on your life? And can you tell me about them?
I think my first grade teacher helped me read and really get the concept of reading and the love for books.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like kindergarten and like elementary school teachers are always the ones you remember.
Yes.
Because they kind of taught you how to live a little bit. Can you tell me about what you did for a living?
Well, I was a nurse. Mm-hmm. I got trained as a nurse, and I worked for a couple of years and then had children. And my husband was in anesthesia, so I didn't have to work. And I stayed home and raised my children and was a volunteer at the school. Any time they needed a volunteer, I was a chief volunteer. And I also helped in church a lot, sang in church a lot, sang at funerals and weddings. And then at age 53, I went back into nursing, and that turned out to be great. And I worked there for 15 years before I retired.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I also babysit a lot and did foster care.
Yeah.
I was thrown in there.
Okay. Can you tell me about how you ended up in your line of work? I think you already touched on that. Your friend convinced you.
Yes. And it wasn't, my sister had always talked nursing, but didn't do it. She got married instead. But it turned out to be really good. It fit. I think I'm more of a social worker personality, but you can do a lot of that in nursing. And it fit. And I wanted to help others, and I love people. So it turned out.
Yeah.
Turned out okay.
All right. Did you like your job?
Yes, I did. I did. Uh-huh. I worked with a lot of different areas, but I liked psych the best.
Yeah.
And I think because of my mom, I had a real compassion and understanding for people who went through those things. And families, too.
Yeah, of course.
So, yes, I did.
All right. Do you have any favorite stories from your work life?
Hundreds that nurses will tell that are funny, but they're too... my kids would say, don't say that!
I don't get affected very badly by that kind of stuff, so I don't care either way.
I remember one time, student nurse stories are the funniest.
Yeah.
And I remember, this wasn't terribly funny, it was kind of scary, but this girl and I were, a striker frame was something that we'd put a paralyzed person on, and it would be like a stretcher, and then when they needed to be turned over, you had another stretcher, and then you would strap them around, put straps around, and flip them.
Oh.
And so it was a way they could be turned over and have different pressure points and stuff. Well, we went to do that one night and forgot to put the straps on.
Oh, no.
And the person started to slide. We're going, no, but we rescued them.
Yeah.
But that was pretty bad.
Oh, my goodness.
But we had untold stories about that. But one of the things, when I first went there, I was kind of young. I was 17 when I graduated. So started school, and I was in a diploma school, which was 3 years from straight. No summers off, just 3 years straight.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And you ended up with an RN diploma.
Oh, okay.
And they've kind of done away with those now because they went to a two-year degree program instead. But it was a great way to learn nursing because you were right by the hospital. They hired you right away to work on the floors.
Oh, wow.
And it was just live, eat, sleep nursing, you know, and the whole thing. And this hospital was we call it indigent, a county hospital where gunshot wounds and burns and all the worst things came there. But they would call us from the autopsy department and ask us if we wanted to come and watch. And so they'd call late at night, and we'd all go running over there. It was about a half a block to get there.
Oh, my
goodness.
We'd
go running over at night, all excited about, there I was, watching autopsies.
Oh, I could never.
But we learned a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know,
if you can stomach that kind of stuff, yes, I think it's nice to know about
it. Back in
the
days, people learned on cadavers more. They may still. I'm not sure what. But
well, now it's easier to look at things and
they
find
make
out
robotical ones,
and,
I think, now.
Yeah, and with x-rays and stuff, it's easier to, like, really tell what's going on without having to go into something.
Uh-huh. But we saw that, so that was interesting.
Wow.
But looking back, I'd think, oh, my 17-year-old granddaughter doing that? I'd be horrified.
Yeah, no, that is terrifying. I don't think I could ever do that. All right. Can you tell me about someone who had a big influence on your life? What would you tell me about some of the most important lessons that person taught you?
Well, I think I said, did I answer that one time?
Did you? I don't remember where the, what.
You asked me who most influenced me in my life. And I said Ginger. I talked about Ginger. But is that the same or is that a little different?
Okay. Here, let's go to this one. I don't think I asked you this one.
Okay.
Is there something about me that you've always wanted to know but have never asked?
Oh, how interesting.
I think this is the last one. I don't remember. But
something about you that I've always wanted to know.
Yeah.
And have never asked. I've never really asked you how you managed and got through your father's death.
I don't even know if I know the answer to that.
Were you too young to really?
Well, I knew what happened. Like, I fully understood.
Yes.
And it's not that I was trying, I was in denial about it.
Right.
I think it was just the transition from just, even though my parents were separated.
Yes.
It was odd because I always had that concrete alone time with him.
Yes, you
did. Like his house and everything. And I never even got any closure because they wouldn't even tell me what happened to him.
Okay.
So that was weird for a while because they didn't want to tell me.
Yes.
They just said that, you know, like his heart just wasn't working good and that he didn't take very good care of himself. But now I know that it was, I still don't know everything.
Yes.
But I know now that it was a lot of, you know, some other issue. He didn't take care of himself.
Yes. Right.
But it was, I think, some kind of drug related things. And also it's just, it's more hard now because more things come out, especially about how he wasn't the greatest person. In his life, he the time that he was the best with in his life was when I was born, and it was mostly around me, but he was also trying really hard at that point.
Yes.
So my sister had a really awful childhood, and that kind of ruined our relationship.
Yes. Yes.
And so that didn't help.
Right.
But I mean, I don't know. I don't even know how. I think because my mom tried to get me to go into counseling for a little bit because she thought that you know, some of those problems still affected me, but nothing could really be narrowed down. So I don't know. I think I think the depression and anxiety problems I just got from the family. Because my, you know, my mom and sister have chronic depression and stuff, and I don't have it that bad, but I have suffered with it. But I'm on medicine and everything now. I feel so much better. That's why
I'm so glad.
Doing so much better in school.
Good. And that, good, I'm glad that. I knew you had some anxiety problems.
It's it was more depression than
more
anxiety,
depression.
But
okay,
it was a lot at at some points, but I don't know.
Well, and you don't think that your dad's death influenced that or started something going on that? Or
no, I don't think so, because I was so young.
Yes.
And, I mean, I moved a little bit after that to a better school. I met my best friend in the whole world.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think it kind of helped me in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
And it never really bothered me not having a father growing up.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.